Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Keterere.
Good afternoon, my brother. I hope you are well.
Very well, thank you. Are you good?
No, I'm very well, thank you.
Lovely, man. I hope that your day has been well spent so far.
No, so far so good.
Fantastic. Great to hear that. Well, we're continuing with our discussion that we started on Monday. Today, Thursday, one more day to go on Friday, and then we wrap it up. But today, free will and a predestination. We taught that we have free will and we can make our own decisions. At the same time, we told that God is sovereign and that his will shall be done. So how can these both be true at the same time? And what we want to uncover by the end of this conversation is, are we free to choose or aren't we exactly? So, Pastor, how does our free will coexist with the sovereignty of God?
I would say that's the age-long question, and within Christian theology, it is one of the heated debates, even from the early church fathers.
Mm.
We have different schools of thoughts as far as this is concerned,
mm-hmm.
but maybe let me just mention two that that are key to our discussion. The first one is called compatibilism. Now, this belief. The proponents of the belief, they say free will and God's sovereignty are compatible. They suggest that the human free will, it operates within some kind of boundaries of God's sovereign plan. So there's a sovereign plan that God has for us, which we might term the will of God. But within that will of God, that is only where our free will exists. So there's nothing that we can do that is outside of the main thing that God knows will happen. So in other words, they are saying God ordains everything that happens, but humans still make the genuine choices. The other school of thoughts, they are the libertarians. Now, this view, it assesses that humans, they have genuine or free will. Yeah, they have genuine free will, and their choices are not predetermined
yep.
or controlled. Or controlled by God himself. So they believe or they argue that for love and moral responsibility to be authentic, to be true, to be straight, humans must have the ability to choose otherwise. But the other side of this also, it says that the sovereignty of God allows for human freedom as part of his divine plan.
Mm.
Though how this occurs may be mysterious, but they just believe that general sovereignty of God is always there. So when you look at both these two things, especially in light of what we have discussed before in the previous days already, the sovereignty, let me not just use the word sovereignty loosely, but let me also throw in the will of God. So the sovereignty of God, but within the will of God. So God has a will.
Mm.
God has a will of how things should happen. But as human beings, we may choose otherwise. But God has a will. So if we choose anything that is outside of God's will, he knows it. He knows it. But him knowing that though he is sovereign, he does not hold us by the neck and say, you have chosen this one. So I'm just going to hold you so that you can choose my will. No, he provides ample grace for us to choose and follow his will, but it is still free will on our side
mm-hmm.
to choose it or not to choose it. So his sovereignty still stands. He's still God. His sovereignty still stands. He still stands up there as God. And we still stand on our corner with our free will. And his sovereignty is not dictatorship, where he will now tell us, do this, and without giving us an option. There are options, but he also gives us the consequences of those options if we are to choose them. So that's how I may want to share more, rather, on the sovereignty and the free will itself.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit complicated, but I think you explained it quite well. Now, is it possible then to be saved and not predestined to salvation? Isn't salvation itself a predestination for eternal life?
So I think I have to be subtle or to listen carefully on this one, because it is a bit tricky. Is it possible to be saved and not predestined?
Yes.
Is it possible to be saved and not predestined?
Mm.
Now let's just go back and say, the Bible, when we go to the Bible, it teaches that God's will for all people is for all of us to be saved. And he provides sufficient grace for the salvation to everyone.
Mm.
However, my brother, individuals must cooperate with that grace that he has ushered literally for everyone. So predestination, as God's plan, is for the salvation of everyone. That's God's will as far as salvation is concerned. But however, that we still have a choice. So now your question is saying, is it possible to be saved and not predestined? Now, if I am getting you rightly, is it possible that somebody is going to rock up in heaven one day, yet God was not aware of them coming or of them being right and doing things right? I don't think that is possible. So God has foreknowledge. Remember, we spoke of predestination and foreknowledge.
Mm.
God has foreknowledge of everyone who's going to be saved and everyone who's going to be lost. God has foreknowledge of our choices that we are going to make. He has provided enough and ample grace for us to be saved, but it is through our own choices that we decide otherwise. So it is not possible for us to say, is it possible to be saved and not to be predestined? It is, I would think that this question probably to some extent emanates from an understanding that before you are born, God, whether you do good or you don't do good, God has just said, these are going to be lost, these are going to be saved. No, that, it doesn't happen that way. But his foreknowledge of your choices, that's the predestination that we are talking about.
Mm.
For knowledge of the choices that you want to make. So it is not possible to be saved and not be predestined.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, it's not possible to be saved and God not have a foreknowledge of you going to be saved.
Mm. Yeah, now we're going to be wrapping up this conversation. These heavenly things, Mfundis. Yeah, but now... Yeah, does it mean, what does it mean, rather, that God predestined those he foreknew? Isn't that everyone?
Maybe to understand this, let us in the next few minutes, just separate foreknowledge and predestination so that we understand those two words separately.
Mm.
So foreknowledge, it refers to God's knowledge of events or decisions before they even happen.
Okay.
So in the context of salvation, as you are mentioning, it suggests that God knows in advance who will come to faith in Christ. So that's foreknowledge. He has knowledge of those who are going to come in advance
mm-hmm.
to faith in Jesus Christ. So while we have many different schools of thought around this, but when you talk about foreknowledge, it simply means God knows ahead of time who will freely choose to accept his offer of salvation. Based on his foreknowledge,
Mm.
God then predestines those individuals to be conformed to the image of Christ or to predestine them to be saved.
Yeah, yeah.
It is based on the foreknowledge of that. So that's the definition of foreknowledge. But when you go to predestination now, we say it is referring to God's sovereign decision or decree regarding the destiny of individuals based on his foreknowledge. So it is not based on just him just making a choice, pinky, pinky, pongy, father. No. But rather, it is based on God's foreknowledge of the choices that we are going to make. So when the Bible tells us that he foreknew the ones that are going to be saved, it is simply based on the choices that are going. Let me read the text as it is. For those God foreknew. So for those God foreknew. So we are talking for the foreknowledge that God knows on the choices that people are going to make. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So he then makes them to conform. He has predestined them that these are going to be the ones that are going to be saved. Which ones? The ones he has foreknowledge of them making a choice for Jesus Christ. So in short, this text, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it is not just coming out of nowhere where God is just going to make a pick, but rather it is based on the foreknowledge of God on the choices we are going to make. And those choices are going to make us to be saved. But however, also, I can never overemphasize that the choices that we are going to make outside of the grace of God are literally nothing. There is still the application of grace. Probably that is a subject for another time.
Yeah.
There's an application of grace for us to be saved. So it is not based on our merit, but he foreknows that we are going to choose Christ or not.
Now, before I let you go, then how are we then to understand this verse, in light of the great controversy wherein God is being painted as unjust and unfair?
Well, I would give an example of Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brothers. By God's foreknowledge, he was going to be the savior of Israel, bringing them food. But when you look at the brothers, what the evil deed that they did, that was evil, and that was fully bad. So at times someone can view God as if he is the cause of the injustices, even the tsunamis, the lightning strikes, the accidents. People may view God as the cause of those things, when in actual fact, God has foreknowledge of those things, that those things are going to happen. But his foreknowledge does not alter our choices. He actually even knows the choices that we are going to make based around those kinds of things. So when we talk about the justice of God, when we talk about the justice, actually the Bible says justice and mercy kiss each other. In Christ Jesus, we find justice and mercy. Because there's the forgiveness of sin, and still he deals with the sin itself. So we can never be able to say God is unjust, because when we look at the greater picture, maybe at times, maybe tomorrow, or when we get to heaven, when God is to play everything before us, you'd wonder, but God, why did you allow my father to die? Why did you allow my mother to die? Only then probably you understand, you're actually in heaven probably because of the unfortunate events that happened in your life. So the injustices of God in court that many people talk about, at times they emanate from a position of not understanding God freely and fully on how he operates and who he is as a sovereign being.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, it is now 16 before the hour, 4 o'clock. We're going to be wrapping up this conversation tomorrow as we are going to be looking at everything that we've discussed through this week. So we'll be discussing whether God has ever, and if he still has or plays the favorites. I mean, predestination, favorites, etc., etc. We're going to be trying to understand that and, of course, wrap up our week together. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.